30-year-old Joe Tangaban of Juneau is the victim of an underground accident early yesterday morning at the Kensington Gold Mine. Tangaban died while performing his regular duties at the mine, according to Core Alaska officials. The accident happened at the 1,260-foot level where Tangaban had been working. No other details have been released about the accident. The company is investigating the circumstances surrounding the incident, and the Mine Safety and Health Administration has been notified. Tangaban had worked at the mine for about a year. In a news release, Coeur d'Alene's Mine Corporation President and CEO Mitchell Krebs said Tangaban was a respected and well-liked employee at Kensington. Kensington Mine is about 45 miles northwest of Juneau. An emergency response team is stationed at the mine. Kensington opened in June of last year, and this is the first fatality. Another suspicious fire is being investigated by the Juneau Fire Marshal. Yesterday afternoon's blaze occurred at what appeared to be an abandoned single-wide mobile home trailer at 9018 Long Run Drive. Dark black smoke was reportedly visible from miles away, and firefighters say the structure was heavily involved in flames and smoke when they arrived about 4 o'clock yesterday. The structure is considered a total loss with about $10,000 damage. One firefighter was transported to Bartley Regional Hospital for precautionary medical evaluation for a non-life-threatening condition. No other injuries reported. Fire Marshal Dan Jager says anyone with information about the fire is encouraged to call him at 586-5322. Juneau residents turned out in force last night to urge the U.S. Postal Service not to close the Douglas Post Office. The branch is on a list with thousands of other post offices nationwide being studied for possible closure by the financially struggling agency. But for the approximately 150 people who packed the Mount Jumbo Gym last night, it's more than just a place to pick up mail and send packages. It's part of the community. In fact, Douglas Post Office clerks Lee Kearney and Dean Ruby were grand marshals of the Douglas 4th of July parade last year, as pointed out by John Sander and several others.
I would be shocked if there's another post office in the country that had whose postal workers served as grand marshals.
Most of those who testified were Douglas residents who like the convenience of having a post office nearby. But several said they live on the Juneau side of the bridge, but drive into Douglas rather than use the federal building station downtown. Jack Cadigan gave his top three reasons why he prefers Douglas.
Parking, parking, and parking. I counted, perhaps incorrectly, but 13 parking spaces, 30 minutes each, to service the main post office and the entire federal building, all seven stores and all the other agencies that are there. There's 15 right down here on Douglas. We can come over here with packages. We can bring them in. We can get them shipped. We can get them mailed. And it's great.
Edwin Soto, president of the American Postal Workers Union Local 3323 in Juneau, said seniors, people with disabilities, and businesses in Douglas would take the biggest hit if the post office were to close. He argued the Postal Service's savings would be modest at best and said the real reason for the agency's financial problems is a 2006 postal reform law that requires the Postal Service to pre-fund future retiree health care benefits.
An obligation that no other federal agency or private business must bear.
Diane Horbachuk, U.S. Postal Service District Manager for Alaska, was one of three Anchorage-based Postal Service officials who heard the testimony. She said public input will be just one of the factors taken into consideration as the agency decides which post offices to shutter. Another factor she mentioned was the cost of running each location. If the Postal Service decides to close the Douglas branch, Horbachuk said there would be an opportunity for the community to appeal.
At this point, we have not made that decision. We're going to go back and look at all our data, take into account the comments, and make a decision. If we do make a decision that goes against what the community feels it should be, then you will be given the notice of what to do for what we would call an appeal. And that will be spelled out, and we will post that in the post office.
The Douglas Post Office is one of 11 in Alaska still on the list for possible closure. The list originally included 36 post offices in the state, but 25 rural locations were spared after community groups voiced concerns. Earlier this week, Postmaster General Patrick Donahoe warned Congress that the Postal Service could lose $10 billion in the fiscal year that closes at the end of this month, and the agency is in danger of defaulting as it reaches its borrowing limit. The state is setting aside more of its land for logging. Governor Sean Parnell yesterday signed a bill adding 23,000 acres to the Southeast State Forest. The measure nearly doubles the size of the forest, which was created in 2010. The forest is spread out rather than in one concentrated area. The new acreage is in southern southeast and includes 23 parcels on Mitkoff, Wrangell, Prince of Wales, Dahl, and other islands, as well as the mainland. Haines Representative Bill Thomas helped get the bill passed. He says a larger state forest should be of value to the region's mills.
There's not very many around, and so, you know, they need all the help they can get. So I'm just hoping that with our efforts, we'll be able to supply some volume of timber to them rather than having them litigated and shut down.
The land was already slated for eventual timber harvest. The state forest designation allows officials to manage it by enhancing tree growth with techniques such as thinning. The Southeast State Forest, at about 50,000 acres, is the third and smallest such entity. The quarter-million-acre Haines State Forest is in northern southeast, and the 1.8-million-acre Tanana Valley State Forest stretches from Manly to Tok in the interior. Slightly more Alaskans were unemployed in July. The rate was up to 7.7%, up from 7.5% in June. National unemployment was 9.1%. State labor economist Neil Fried says Alaska's unemployment has been below the national average for almost 3 years now.
That is sort of amazing. It looks like it will continue at least through this year and maybe even longer.
However, Fried says the jobless rate varies widely across Alaska and over the seasons. From 1.1% unemployment in Bristol Bay at the peak of the red salmon run to double digits in the winter. And then there's the lower Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta.
And their unemployment rate for July was 24.6%, which was the highest in the state, has been consistently the highest, and doesn't even come down very much in the summer.
Construction, seafood processing, and the visitor industry hit their peak in July, which is usually the month with the highest number of jobs available in Alaska. With the exception of 2009, employment in Alaska has grown every year since 1980. The State Labor Department also published an overview of Alaska's economy from 2000 to 2010 in the September issue of its magazine Economic Trends. Fried says Alaska's economy grew over those 10 years.
Broadly speaking, you know, with the exception of the timber industry, almost every other sort of major industry that we have in Alaska, whether it was the federal government, the oil industry, the fishing industry, the visitor industry, they all grew. They didn't all grow at the same rate, but they, for most part, grew. In fact, I sometimes refer to this as probably a period where we saw more balanced growth in our economy than we probably ever saw in any previous decade.
Fried says Alaska's population showed the same slow, steady growth in the first 10 years of the 21st century, but it has become more diverse. The Hispanic population in Alaska increased by 50% and Asians by over 50%. The Alaska Native population also increased substantially.
Dramatic increases in some populations. The Native Alaskan population, and this is alone, grew by about 7%. But then when you combine that, that's kind of hidden. When you look at the two or more race category where Alaska Natives are very heavily represented, that grew by 50%. So underneath that sort of overall total population count, the change in our population was a lot more dramatic.
Places with the lowest percentage of Alaska Natives are Skagway, the Denali Borough, and Mat-Su Borough, ranging from 3.5% to 5.5%. Nome, Bethel, and Wade-Hampton census districts have the highest percentage of Alaska Natives, ranging from 76% to 95%.